It's my great honour and privilege to introduce the man who all of you, I think, know, Professor Narasimhacharya, who's going to talk about the idea of Lakshmi and Sri Vaishnavism from its earliest times. So that's a vast area to cover, but no better man for the job. So thank you very much.
Aibhoho manyaha paramashrantheyaha Shaunakarushi Maharshayaha Ativa dhanyoham kritakrityoham Vishishtatithayaha agataha Trayaha purushaha agni trayamiva Anye vidyarshimanayaha ahutaha Mahat idam padam pramodasyame Yat asmindine Sri Vaishnava Siddhante Lakshmiaha Surupam Adikritya Yatha Shakti Yatha Mati Yatha Kalam Vaktum Prayate. Srimad Ramanujasya Sampradayasya Sri Sampradayaha Iti Nama Lakshmihi Sriman Narayanena Saha Gurusthanam Alankaroti Acharya Padavim Adhitishtati. Lakshmiaha Vishnoscha Avinabhavaha Sambandha Vartate Lakshmim Vina Narayanaha Nasti Narayanam Vina Lakshmi Api Nasti Iti Raghavatve Abhavat Sita Rukmini Krishna Janmani Anyeshu Cha Avatareshu Vishnoho Esha Anapayini Iti Shri Vishnu Purana Suktihi Vartate Yada Shri Mahavishnuhu Rama avataram svikrutavan tada lakshmihi sita rupena agatavati evameva yada mahavishnuhu shri krishna swarupam svikrutavan tada lakshmihi rukmini rupena avatatara iti pauraniki pratha vartate shri vaishnava mate bhagavad ramanujasya paschat trayo dasha shatake matabhedaha sanjataha Sampradaya Dwayam Asit Dravida Bhashayam Tengale Sampradaya Vadagale Sampradaya Ichuchete Dakshinatya Autaraha Sampradaya Dwayam Sanjatam Tatra Lakshmiaha Surup Vishaye Bhedaha Asit Tam Bheda Masritya Dwayoho Madhye Dwayoho Vargayoho Madhye Kola Halaha Sanjataha Idanind Asmakam Saubhagi Vashati Saha Kola Halaha Shantaha Sarvepi Samarasyana Vartante Iti Idam Patamataha Maya Vaktavyamasti Yatavat Pariyantam Maya Samskutbhashaya Yoharaha Krataha Srimad Bhihi Shaunakaihi Adishtaham Samskutbhashaya Bhavatu Sarvopi Vyavaharaha Iti Kintu Atra Vidyamaneshu Kativa Samskutbhashayam Avagachayuhu Iti Bhiya Sarva Avagataya Sarva Sulabhaya Angla Vashaya Vyavaharami.
That's his introduction.
I am beholden to Sri Saunakaji for this opportunity. I am happy that special guests have come today to listen to me. I am a hearty welcome to all of you. Let me start with a prayer which is chanted by all the Vaishnavas. This is actually regarding the galaxy of teachers who have been helping us. Om Lakshmi Natha Samarambham Natha Yamuna Madhyamam Asmadacharya Pariyantam Vande Guru Paramparam. The system of religion developed by Sri Ramanuja and his followers is known as Sri Vaishnavism. It believes in the supremacy of Lord Vishnu in association with his consort Shri, known as Lakshmi. This is also known as Sri Sampradaya. This religious system has to be distinguished from other Vaishnava schools of Vedanta, like the Dvaita Advaita of Sri Nimbarkacharya, the Dvaita of Sri Madhva, the Shuddha Advaita of Sri Vallabha, the Achintya Bheda Bheda of Sri Krishna Chaitanya, the Sharana Sampradaya of Sri Shankaradeva and the Navya Vishishtadvaita of Sri Swaminarayana. Here, the word Sri in Sri Vaishnavism is not a mere honorific. It shows the status of Sri as the inseparable consort of Lord Narayana, the mother of all the living beings and the mediator between man and God. From the viewpoint of philosophy, Ramanuja's system is known as Vishishta Advaita. This can be expounded in two different ways, as Vishishtasya Advaitam and Vishishtayoho Advaitam. On the first interpretation, it means the non-duality or oneness of God who is qualified or differenced. This is Professor J. Van Boyten's interpretation. In other words, the universe comprising the sentient and insentient entities forms the body, the sharira, or the Lord, who forms its soul, the sharirin, as it were. Ramanuja defines body not as an aggregate or sanghata of sense organs as defined by others, but as that which is invariably supported, invariably controlled, and invariably made use of by a sentient entity for its own pleasure or benefit. From this viewpoint, the whole universe becomes the body of the Lord, because it is, without an exception, being supported, controlled, and used by Him for His own exclusive pleasure. According to the second alternative, Vishishtadvaita can be explained as Vishishtayoho Advaitam. It means the non-duality of Brahman in his causal and effect states. In both these conditions, the universe remains the body of the Lord only. In the causal state, it remains in a very subtle condition called Sukshma Avastha, and in the effect state, it remains in a gross or sthula form. Now let us see what the position of Lakshmi is in the Vedas. The Sri Vaishnava religion, since its earliest beginnings, which can be traced to the hymns of the Dravida mystic saints called Alvars, the Puranas and Itihasas, is based upon the belief that Lord Vishnu and Lakshmi constitute the ultimate Godhead and goal of human life, always inseparably associated with each other. As a matter of fact, there is very little in the Vedas to support the concept of Lakshmi. The Rig Veda has no reference to Lakshmi at all. Even the hymns found in the Vishnu Sukta do not apparently project the picture of Vishnu as a supreme being. Such is the case with Rudra also. The Rig Veda refers to divine power by terms like Shakti, Maya and Shachi. There was a conscious effort on the part of the Vedic seers to unite all the minor gods into a supreme godhead called Prajapati or Vishwakarman, and all the female deities like Dhishana and Saraswati into one supreme goddess called Vak. This comprehensive conception of mother goddess can be noted in the Ambhrini Sukta of the Rig Veda in the 10th mandala, where Vak declares herself as being at the root of the powers of all the gods, the prosperity and riches of the land, and the intellect of the wise, thus foreshadowing the latter Shakti trinity of Parvati, Lakshmi and Saraswati. In the creation hymn, Na Sadasit, No Sadasit Tadanim, Adi Rig Veda, again 10th mandala, the one supreme being is said to have been breathing without air by its own inherent power called Swadha. Anit Avatam Swadhaya Tatu Ekam. The Shatapatha Brahmana considers Lakshmi as the offspring of Prajapati. In the Aitireya Brahmana, Lakshmi is referred to as the harvest goddess and is identified with Mother Earth, Bhudevi. The Shalapadikaram, ancient Tamil Sangam classic, knows Lakshmi as a goddess seated in a lotus and flanked by elephants we call Gajalakshmi. The Guptas issued seals having Lakshmi embossed on them and worshipped her. But her status as a consort of Vishnu superseded everything else. It is interesting to note that Lakshmi is worshipped in Jain and Buddhist traditions as well, as is clear from their monuments. Now the Upanishads. The Shakti of the Vedic literature became Ikshana or Abhidhyana in the Upanishads. This Ikshana, that is reflection or thought, is the same as the power of creative desire of Brahman. as expressed in the famous Chandogya passage, Tat Aikshata Bahusyam Prajayaya. The Brihadaranyaka expressly makes Shakti the consort of the Lord for the world evolution in the familiar terms of husband and wife. Saha etavanasa yatha stri pumamsau samparishvaktau tataha patischa patnicha abhavatam. The different aspects of the Rigvedic female deities may be said to get fused into one full-fledged goddess of power in the Ambhrani Sukta and into another of plenty in the Sri Sukta in the Rigveda Khilas. Khila means supplementary hymn. Lakshmi is sometimes designated Shraddha, and God is sometimes said to owe his energy, glory, to her in such statements as Shraddhaya Devaha Devatvam Ashnute. Ranganath Muni of about the 12th century AD identifies goddesses like Shraddha, Medha and Saraswati with Sri in the commentary on Sri Sukta. The Sri Sukta presents the picture of Sri or Lakshmi as the goddess of beauty, plenty and prosperity, and as the ruler and mother of the universe. Ishwarim Sarvabhutanam Mataram Padmamarinim Mataram Shriyam are the expressions from the Sri Sukta. The expression Tam Padmanemim Sharanamaham Prapadye, I seek refuge with the one who is wielding the lotus, supplies the germ for the evolution of the doctrine of surrender called Sharanagati in the Sri Vaishnava school. It is this motherly aspect of God that forms the cardinal doctrine of Sri in the Sri Vaishnava theology. Shakti came to be treated in different ways by different schools of thought. Between all these interpretations, the difference is one of terminology but not of essence. The different interpretations are facilitated by the fact that the power or Shakti of the Lord can be treated as either identical with or separate from Him. Then the Puranas. Among the Puranas, the Vishnu Purana occupies a special place for the Sri Vaishnavas. It is known as Purana Ratram in Sri Vaishnava tradition. It describes the entire universe as a visible manifestation of the Shakti of the Lord. Here, Sri, with whom Shakti is identified, is glorified as Supreme Mother Goddess and the Great Cosmic Mother, Jagan Mata and Jagadhati. She is referred to as a repository of all auspicious attributes, the most prominent of which is mercy. It is this quality that is said to be the source of all-round universal prosperity. Here, she is viewed not only as the deity of plenty and prosperity, but as the very embodiment of all the branches of learning, including the knowledge of the self, Atmavidya, leading to emancipation, Vimukti Phala Dayini. She is also said to be ever inseparably united with her Lord and as possessor of eternity and omnipresence like Him. If the Lord came down as Rama, she manifested herself as Sita, and when He manifested Himself as Krishna, she appeared as Rukmini. These are already quoted. Raghavatve, Abhavat Sita, Rukmini, Krishna Janmani, Anyeshu cha Avatareshu, Vishnoho, Esha Anapayini. Nityaiva Esha Jaganmata, Vishnoho, Srihi Anapayini, Yatha Sarvagataha Vishnuhu, Tathaiva Iyam Dhyottama. It may be also noted in this context that the eternal relationship between Sri and Narayana is brought out through the name Sriman Narayana, which is part of the Dvaya Mantra, held in high esteem by the Sri Vaishnavas. I am not giving any instruction to anybody, therefore I can chant the mantra. Strictly speaking, I am not supposed to repeat the mantras at all. Om Namo Narayanaya is said to be the Mola Mantram. Sriman Narayana Charano, Sharanam Prabhadye, Srimate Narayanaya Namaha is the Dvaya Mantra. The twin, there are two sentences here. And then we have one more mantra which is included in the Rahasya Traya list. That is the Charama Shloka of Sri Krishna, Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, verse 66. Sarvadharman Parityajya, Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja, Ahantvam Sarva Papebhyaha, Mokshayishyami Mashuchaha. Now, in Sriman Narayana, Srimat, here the suffix Matup in Sriman Narayana indicates Nitya Yoga or eternal relationship. Matup Nitya Yoga, according to Panini. Now the Pancharatra Agamas. The worship of Shakti as a separate cult had a great development in Shaivism, especially in the Tantric schools. In some Pancharatra texts, Lakshmi is said to be all-powerful, more powerful than her consort Vishnu himself. Her designation, Mahalakshmi, makes this attitude more accentuated. This trend seems to be quite prominent in temple worship as well. There are independent temples for Lakshmi, as for example, the one at Kolhapur in Maharashtra, built in 700 AD. This is the oldest one referred to as the Shakti Pitha in the Puranas. There is one at Mumbai, built in 1785 AD, the Ashtalakshmi Temple in Chennai, Tamil Nadu, and a golden temple at Sripuram near Vellore, Tamil Nadu, are of recent origin. When it is said that it is because of Shraddha, inherent power, God becomes what He is, to which reference has already been made, Shraddhaya Devaha Devatvam Asrite, this trend of making Shakti ubiquitous and all-powerful becomes quite evident. The Ahirbuddhi Samhita, one of the oldest Pancharatra texts, declares that there is no difference between Shakti and Shaktiman, identified with Lakshmi and Vishnu respectively. It is said that these two appear to be one in essence, though notionally two. The relationship is likened to the one subsisting between the moon and her beams. Jyotsnaiva himadidhitehe vyapakau ati samsleshat ekam tatvam iva udito naiva shaktya vina kashchit shaktiman asti karanam nacha shaktimata shaktihi vina kapi avatishtate. The Jayakya Samhita, another Pancharatra text, speaks of four types of the power of the Lord: Lakshmi, Kirti, Jaya, and Maya. This Agama further points out that of these four, Lakshmi is the most intimately related to Him, like the rays to the sun and waves to the ocean. The Ahirbuddhi Samhita and the Lakshmi Tantra state that she is related to the Lord as an attribute is to its substance. In these agamas, Shakti almost usurps the place of the Godhead, being in one aspect both the instrumental cause, the Nimitta Karana, as well as the material cause, Upadana Karana, of the universe. It is not difficult to imagine that it is only to preserve the immutable and transcendental character of the Lord that Lakshmi is spoken of as a principle eternally distinct from the Lord. Dr. F. O. Schrader observes, in spite of frequent assurances as to the real identity of Lakshmi and Vishnu, the two are actually regarded as different. Even in Pralaya, they do not completely coalesce, but become only as it were a single principle. Still, the dualism is, strictly speaking, a makeshift for preserving the transcendent character of Vishnu. Lakshmi alone acts, but everything she does is the mere expression of the Lord's will. Now, the writings of the mystic saints called Aldwars. It has to be pointed out that the ideas expressed by Yamuna, called Alavandar in Tamil, who was Ramanuja's Paramaguru, and other teachers who followed him, were inspired by the soul-stirring songs of the Tamil mystic saints called Aldwars, of whom Namaldwar is the most important and prominent one. In his famous work called the Tiruvayamozhi, he says that Lakshmi is always associated with her Lord, the presiding deity at Tirupati. The Aldwar, left with no other alternative, seeks refuge at the feet of the Lord. Agaragillin erayumenru alarmiyal mangai uraimarva nigaril pugalai uragam oondru udaiyai ennai aalvane nigaril amarar munikkanangal virumbum tiruvengalathane pugalandru illa vadiyen un nadikkil amarndu pugundene very beautiful expression here. Madhye madhye paniyam samarpayami. The Alvar says, I have entered the sole of your foot. You can't get it off me. It is a shoe, you can easily remove it. But when you are there, under the sole, as one of the lines there, you can't do anything about it. Unadi keed amarundu bhugundin. Adi means foot. Adi keed down below that. Not as a footwear, which can be removed. But I am one of the imprints on the sole of your foot. That is the spirit of Alvar's expression. Unadi keed amarundu bhugundin. Tvat padamoolam sharanam prapadye. Yamunacharya, who has rendered this same, almost identical way. Na dharma nishthosmi. I don't know karma yoga. Na cha atma vedi. I have no jnana yoga to migrate it. Na bhakti man tva charanara vinde. Akinchanaha ananyagatihi sharanya tvat padamoolam sharanam prapadye. Tvat padamoolam adikki namarandu. They are identical. In another song, Namaldwar points out that Lakshmi, who abides in the ever-blooming and never-fading lotus, removes all our sins and protects us. Veri marada Pumiri Rupal Ganai Tirkume. Now the writings of the Sri Vaishnava authors. All these ideas, traced so far in the earlier literature on Sri, find a succinct philosophical statement in the Chitushloki of Yamunacharya, known as Alavandar in tradition, which forms the bedrock of all later expositions of the concept of Lakshmi. Yamuna, in four verses set in the majestic Shardula Vikridita meter, presents Sri as the mistress of the universe, the repository of all glorious attributes, of which mercy is the most prominent, the sole source of universal prosperity, and the inseparable and devoted consort of the Supreme Lord Vishnu. A brief analysis of these four verses is attempted here so as to show to what extent they influenced the thinking of later writers like Ramanuja, Parashara Bhatta, and Vedanta Deshika. First verse. Om Kantaste Purushottamaha Panipatihi Shaya Asanam Vahanam Vedatma Vyageshwaraha Evanika Maya Jagan Mohini Brahmesha Disuruvrajaha Sadayitaha Tvaddasa Dasi Yaganaha Shrihi Ityeva Janamate Bhagavati Brumaha Katantva Amvayam. In this opening stanza, Yamuna says that Lakshmi enjoys equal status with her Lord Purushottama, a well-known designation of Lord Vishnu. Her couch is Adisesha, Garuda is her vehicle, Maya or Pragati, which bewitches the entire universe, is her curtain. Brahma, Shiva, and other orderlies of celestials, along with their consorts, are her attendants. Moreover, her name is Shri. How can anyone praise her glory? Yamuna has in his mind the various interpretations given to the word Shri in the Ahirbhudhi Samhita, which is a Panchratra text. This Agama says, Srinati Nikhilan Doshan, Srinati cha Gunaihi Jagati, Shriyati cha Akhilaihi Nityam, Shriyate cha Param Padam. It means, she is called Shri because she destroys all this sin. There are four different verbal roots here from which the Yamuna has drawn inspiration. This is from the root Shri Himsayam, belonging to ninth conjugation. Then, that is, she removes or destroys all our sins. That is why she is called Shri. Srinati Doshan. She blesses the world with good qualities. This is from the root Shri Pake, ninth conjugation. To dress, to prepare. Then, she is always resorted to by all the living beings. This is from the root Shri Sevayam, Shri Yatecha Akhilaihi Nityam, meaning to depend upon, to cling to, is in the passive voice, and she resorts to the highest abode, Vaikuntha, again from the same root Shri, Shri Yatecha Parampadam. Later commentators add two more etymologies. She listens to the appeals of the suffering humanity. From Shru Shravane, Shrunoti Dinam Vartam. Then again, Shravayatyipitam Vibhum. One should convey the message to her Lord also. This is how the word Sri is very important in Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. That is why it is called Sri Sampradaya. Sure. It contains so many meanings. Now come to the verse 2. Yasyaste mahimanam atmanaiva tvadvallabho api prabhu nalammapi niyataya niravadhim nityanukulam svataha tam tvam dasaiti prapannaiti jastoshyamyaham nirbhayaha lokaikeshwari lokanatha deite dante dayante vidan. In this verse, Yamuna points out the greatness of Lakshmi cannot be gauged either by herself or by her omniscient Lord. However, her grandeur is in complete agreement with his. Yamuna says that he is fully aware of the fact that she is extremely kind towards one who has subdued his senses and is devoted to her. He calls himself her dasa and prapanna. Prapanna is one who has sought refuge. Emboldened by this nature of hers, he has ventured to praise her. Now the third verse. Ishat tvat karuna nirikshana sudha sandhukshana drakshete nashtam prak tadalabhataha trihuvanam samprati anantodayam shreyo nahi aravindalochana manakanta prasada drute samsruti akshara vaishnavadvasu nrunam sambhavyate karhiti. In this third stanza, Yamuna declares that without the grace of the consort of the lotus-eyed Lord, that is Lakshmi, none can ever aspire to attain any kind of welfare in this world, or attain what is called Kaivalya, or even the final emancipation called Vaishnavadva in his language. The world now is being nourished and protected by a very minute fraction of your nectarine side glances only. When this was not there, the whole world became doomed and was lost at a time of cosmic dissolution, that is Pralaya. Yamuna wants to point out in this verse the important role played by Lakshmi in granting not only the material but the spiritual welfare for the living beings. When she did not glance, the universe, including the heaven of Indra, lost its sheen and glory and fell into the ocean. Yamuna has in his mind the Vishnu Purana episode appearing the first Amsha of how Indra, the king of gods, incurred the wrath of Durvasas and lost his position, and how he later regained it by the grace of Lakshmi, who emerged from the Milky Ocean. The role of Lakshmi as the one who ensures the liberation of devotees by commending them to the Lord is technically called Purushakara. She is called Purushakara. Lakshmi is Purushakara. The word, you have to note the word Purushakara here. It is a masculine gender word. Lakshmi is feminine gender word. I'm going to explain it later why. In the Sri Vaishnava tradition, she is called mediatrix as the Purushakara. This concept has become the subject matter of an independent work called Purushakara Mimamsa, composed by Narayana Muni, a 17th century. A student of mine, my name is Shakuntala, took her PhD under my guidance on this particular work. Critical edition study she prepared. Now, I am reading the fourth verse. Shantananta Mahabhibhuti Paramam Yad Brahma Rupam Harehe Murtam Brahma Tatopi Yad Priyataram Rupam Tadachadbhutam Yan Yanyani Yathasukam Viharataha Rupani Sarvani Tanyahuhu Swaihi Anurupa Rupa Vibhavaihi Gadhopa Gudhanite. Here Yamuna implies that though functionally distinguishable from the Lord, she is philosophically a part and parcel of Him. Right from the transcendental aspect of Vishnu called Paravasudeva and His Vyuha emanations, and still down in His manifestations on the mundane earth like Rama and Krishna, there is no aspect of His which is not associated with Sri. That is to say, all His different aspects are expressions of sublimity, beauty and love. Traditional interpreters explain that she and her consort should be meditated upon together, but not as one without the other. If one thinks of them as separate, one would suffer as Ravana and Surpanaka. Ravana took away Sita, avoided Rama. Surpanaka wanted Rama, but not Sita. So one would prosper like Vibhishana if both of them are together. This is what Mumukshu Padi, Pellai Lokacharya, says. Ramanuja, the grand disciple of Yamuna, glorifies Lakshmi in his poetic prose called Sharanagati Gadya as the inseparable and chief consort of Bhagavan Narayana and as the mother and ruler of the universe. She is the flawless repository of innumerable virtues, of which compassion is foremost. She abides in lotuses. Ramanuja, finding no other alternative to save himself, seeks refuge at her feet, that is, performs Charanagati. This work of Ramanuja set the trend in Sri Vaishnava tradition that one should render Charanagati to Lakshmi, the mother, first, and then do it to the Lord, the father, subsequently. Accordingly, when a Sri Vaishnava goes to the Vishnu temple, the present practice is that he has darshan of Lakshmi first, to be followed by that of the Lord himself. This poetic prose piece of Ramanuja deserves to be quoted in full. Om Bhagavan Narayana Abhimatana Rupa Swarupa Rupa Guna Vibhava Aishwarya Shiladi Anavadika Atishaya Asankheya Kalyana Gunaganam Padmavanarayam Bhagavatim Shriyam Devim Nityanapayinim Niravadyam Deva Deva Divyamahishim Akhila Jaganmataram Asmanmataram Asharanya Sharanyam Ananya Sharanaha Sharanamaham Prapadye. As pointed out earlier, all the later Sri Vaishnava writers like Kureshwar, Koratta Aldwan, the direct disciple of Ramanuja, and his own son Parashara Bhatta, and Venkatana Vedanta Deshika, sang their hymns on Lakshmi based upon these two earlier hymns, namely the Chitushloki of Yamuna and the Sharanagati Gadya of Ramanuja. Their basic concepts on Lakshmi remained unchanged, while their poetic talents touched new heights. Now for the names of Sri. Like her Lord Vishnu, Lakshmi also has 1,000 names. There is a work called Lakshmi Sahasranama. Lakshmi Sahasram of Paduka Sahasram was written by Vedanta Deshika. Vedanta Deshika wrote 1,000 verses on the sandals of Lord Ranganatha in one night. Likewise, another follower of Vedanta Deshika wrote 1,000 verses on Lakshmi, it is called Lakshmi Sahasram. Which I am trying to translate now. She is called Lakshmi. Why? Because the whole universe is her visible manifestation. Ahirbhutya Samhita says, Jagattaya Lakshyamana Sa Lakshmihi Iti Giyate. She is called Padma because everybody goes to her from the root Padli Gatav, to go to. This is the fourth conjugation root, Atmanepadeva. She is known as Kamala, because she is loved and desired by all the people, from the root, first conjugation, Kamukantav. Her most popular name, Sri, has already been explained by us in different ways. Her other names, Lokamata, Loka Janani, Kshirasagara Sambhava, one who came out of Milky Ocean, and Mangala Devata, the deity of auspiciousness, are self-explanatory. She is called Indira because of her supreme opulence and lordship, from the root Idi, Parameshwarye, the first conjugation, meaning to have great power. Of these names, the name Sri occurs for the first time in the Sri Sukta. Ashwapurvam Rasamadhyam Hastinada Prabodhinim Shriyam Devi Mupakhvaye Shrir Me Devi Jushatam Padme Siddham Padmavarnam Tam Yeha Upakhvaye Shriyam. The Sri Vishnu Sahasranama Stotra, which is an integral part of the Anushasanaka Parvana, Book 13 of the Mahabharata, has several names which point out the close association of Lord with Sri. They are Srivasaha, Sripatihi, Sriyatam, Srimatam Varaha, Sridaha, Srisaha, Srinivasaha, Srinidhihi, Srivibhavanaha, Sridharaha, Srikaraha, Shreyas Sriman, Narasimhavupuhu Sriman, Madhavaha, Lakshmivan. One of the names of the Lord is Lakshmi herself. Lakshmi means the Lord himself. In a verse beginning with Anadihi, Burbho, Lakshmihi, Suviraha, Ruchirangadaha, Janano, Janajanmadihi, Bhimaha, Bhimaparakramaha. Why? Because he is all wealth and prosperity for his devotees. That's why he is called Lakshmi. The Sri Vaishnava writers, quoting texts of the Ramayana, state that the Lord owes his glory to his consort Lakshmi only. Why is the Lord great? Only because of Lakshmi. Hands off. All the women folk. Maricha tells Rama that the prowess of Rama is inconceivable because he is in the company of Sita. Aprameyam hi, don't play with fire, he cautions Ravana. He asks him to help him in carrying away or kidnapping Sita, and he says, don't play with fire. Aparameyam hi tat tejaha yasya sa janakatmaja. Janakatmaja, Sita is his wife, don't play fire. Rama is very dangerous now. Lakshmi is also the presiding deity of speech. Lakshmi blesses one with, of course, prosperity. Everybody knows about it, since she is the presiding deity of wealth. In addition, she also blesses the devotee with excellent art of poetry. The hymn Ashtotra Shatanam Stotra on Lakshmi reads, Vacham Padmalayam Padmam Shishum Swaham Sudham. Vacham is the first word. She is the presiding deity of speech. Parachara Bhatta, a younger contemporary of Ramanuja, glorifies this aspect of Lakshmi in his hymn Sri Guna Ratana Kosha in a very grand manner. Suktim samagrayatunaha swayameva lakshmihi shirangaraja mahishi madhuraihi katakshaihi tvameva shrihi mahyam bahumukhaya vani virasitam. O Lakshmi, you please grant me with art of poetry. Now, Lakshmi is called Purushakara. Lakshmi plays a very significant role in Sri Vaishnavism. In a way, she may be said to dominate the Sri Vaishnava theology. She serves as a link between the devotee and the deity. As a link of love, she mediates between the infinite, the omnipotent and the finite, the impotent, and transforms the majesty of law into the might of mercy. She offers an eternal assurance to erring humanity that the reign of righteousness is at heart also the reign of redemptive mercy. She recommends even a sinner for God's mercy. In this special role, she is technically called Purushakara, the mediatrix. This word is in masculine gender. It's called Nitya Pullinga. Some words are fixed gender in Sanskrit. It is to be interpreted as Purusham Karotiti Purushakara. She is called Purushakara because she makes the Lord a Purusha. She makes the Jiva also a Purusha. What does it mean? Since the word Purusha means the Lord and the man, this etymology should apply to both of them. In relation to the Lord, Purusha means Puru Adhikam Sanoti Dadati. He, by her intervention, she, by her intervention, makes the Lord grant things liberally to the devotee. Puru Adhikam Sanoti Dadati. The Lord becomes very munificent because Lakshmi is there. In relation to the man, Purusha means Pura Agragamani. The Jiva, due to her intervention, becomes emboldened to face the Lord. He is a mischievous fellow. He is afraid of meeting the Lord, facing the Lord. Like his son in the family also, you know. The boys may be mischievous. Father is very angry, strict disciplinary. But mother intervenes and then settles the problem. So that is... It is said that... She is also the Acharya line for the Sri Vaishnavas. The galaxy of Acharyas is reverentially recollected in the following way by an orthodox Sri Vaishnava to this day. Om Asmat Guru Bhyo Namaha, Asmat Parama Guru Bhyo Namaha, Srimate Ramanujaya Namaha, then Srimate Mahapurnaya Namaha. Go back to this Guru. Srimate Yamunaya Namaha, Srimate Sriyama Mishraya Namaha, Srimate Pundarikakshaya Namaha, Srimate Shatakopaya Namaha, Srimate Vishwakseya Namaha, Sriyai Namaha, Sridharaya Namaha. Go back up to the Lord. Ah Bhagavattaha, says Vedanta Deshika. You must remember all the teachers one by one. It is said that the Pancharatra texts were transmitted by the Lord to Vishwakseya through Lakshmi only. The Sri Vaishnava authors also assert this role of Lakshmi as a mediator by citing several episodes from the Ramayana. For example, when Indra's son, Jayanta, came in the form of a crow and attacked Sita, Rama hurled a blade of grass at him, which became an astra and chased the wicked fellow. Being shunned by all the orderlies of gods in all the three worlds, including his own father Indra, Jayanta had to come down and fall at the feet of Rama for life. Treen Lokan Samparikramya Tameva Sharanam Gataha. This happened because Sita was present there. This happened in the presence of Sita. It is only because of her motherly presence and intervention that Rama took pity on that wicked fellow and saved his life, although he deserved death. Vadharhamapi kakutsaha krupaya paryapalayit. This is recounted in the Sundarakanda by Hanuman also. Sri Pillai Lokacharya, a 13th century Sri Vaishnava writer and the propounder of the Tengadai tradition, a senior contemporary of Vedanta Desika, observes that Rama would have saved even Ravana's life had Sita been present on the battlefield. Such is the motherly compassion of Sita that she would have pleaded with Rama on behalf of Ravana and saved his life. Another well-known illustration for the motherly care and concern of Sri for the sinners can be cited from the Yuddha Kanda, the Ramayana. The battle was over. Ravana was dead. All the demonesses, who a short while ago were threatening Sita of dire consequences, were now scared of their own life because Hanuman was there seeking Sita's permission to kill them at one stroke. Sita, the benevolent mother of the universe, admonished Hanuman for his desire. She said that however sinful a person be, even if he or she deserved death, a righteous man should show compassion, for after all, there is none in this world who doesn't err. To err is human, to forgive divine is same. What a beautiful verse it is from Ramayana. Papanam va, shubhanam va, vatharhanam plavangama, karyam karunam aryena, nakastitu naparajati, nakastitu naparajati. There is none in the world who doesn't commit any mistake. Now comes a point, difference of opinion regarding the status of Lakshmi among the followers of Ramanuja. In the post-Ramanuja period, in the 13th century, there arose doctrinal differences among the followers of Ramanuja. Sri Pillai Lokacharya, to whom reference has been made earlier, Sri Vedanta Desika, who is his younger contemporary, held different views regarding the status of Lakshmi, the nature of the grace of God, the means of liberation, and the like. The sect headed by Pillai Lokacharya is known as the Southern Sect, the Tengalai in Tamil, and the one headed by Vedanta Desika is known as the Northern Sect, Vadagalai in Tamil. These differences are 18 in number, Ashtadesha Bheda, 18 doctrinal differences that appeared. These differences surfaced not during the lifetime of these great Acharyas, but at a later period noticed by commentators in the works of these teachers. These differences are listed in a verse, Bhedaha, Swami Krupa, Phara, Anyagatishu, Sri Vyapti, Upayatvayoho, Tadvatsalya, Daya, Nirukti Vachasoho, Nyasecha, Tatkartari, Dharmatyaga, Virodhayoho, Savihite, Nyasa Anga, Hetutvayoho, Prayaschitavetho, Tadiya Bhajane, Anuvyapti, Kaivalyayoho. 18 of the doctrinal differences. Mere translation I am giving now, they concern the nature of God's grace, whether it is sahetuka, caused, or nirhetuka, the natural. This is a very interesting point here. This brings in what is called as the cat-monkey debate. The Southern school holds that the God's grace is spontaneous, nirhetuka. But the other school holds that it expects some kind of effort on the part of the devotee. They cite the analogies of Marjara Kishora and Markata Kishora. Marjara is a monkey, a cat, mother cat kitten. What does the mother cat do? It will take the child in its mouth and then goes from place to place. So you need not do anything at all. God will take care of you. So you have to just obey. This is the opinion of Tengalai Acharyas. Where Vedantika says, he cites the example of Markata Kishora, the mother monkey and its young one. See, the child will have to cling tight to the mother, either in the back or in the stomach, and the monkey will take branch to branch. So you have to do something on your own part to reserve the grace of God. This is the opinion of Vedanta Desika. This is called Markata Kishora Nyaya, called Majari. A lot of fire has been emanated from this. No light, but a lot of smoke only. All these differences are not irreconcilable. They can be reconciled. I wrote an article for our journal, ISKCON Journal, on this debate. About, it appeared maybe 2005-ish. Yeah. So, the nature of salvation, the differences on these issues, and what are the means of salvation. the pervasive character of Lakshmi, that is alone important for us now, and her instrumentality in salvation, then the nature of God's love, the nature of His daya, recitation of Dvaya Mantra, and the nature of surrender as Nyasa, regarding the eligibility to adopt Nyasa or Sharanagati, abandonment of dharmas, because Krishna says, Sarva dharman parityajya, give up everything and come to me. What exactly is the meaning? A difference of opinion among these two acharyas on the interpretation of this singular verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Then, why should one resort to Parapati at all? What is the mode of atonement of prayaschitta? After doing Sharanagati, suppose you commit some mistakes, what kind of prayaschittas are needed? Here again, there is a reference. And then the nature of serving the devotees of God, Bhagavatas. God's pervasion of the souls. God is all pervasive, but Jiva is Anusurupa. Can he pervade the interior, the Jivatman also or not? That is again a point of debate. And the nature and location of what is called Kaivalya. Kaivalya is not moksha, but it is somewhere located in Vaikuntha, in the slums of Vaikuntha, some foreigner put there. In the slums. Okay. What an American scholar felt. Of these 18 differences, only two issues should engage your attention for the time being, because they alone are relevant to the status of Lakshmi. They are the pervasive character Vyapti of Sri and her being the means or grantor of liberation, Upayatva. According to the Tengalai sect, Sri belongs to the category of Jivas. She belongs to the Jiva Koti. Koti is a class. And hence, she is only atomic in nature, like any other individual self. She has only attributive pervasiveness, gunavyapti, and corporeal pervasiveness, vigraha vyapti, but not essential pervasiveness, na surupa vyapti, which belongs only to the Lord. She is pervasive not by her nature, but by her power. But according to the northern sect, Sri is as pervasive as her consort. She belongs to the category of the Lord, the supreme ruler, Ishvara Koti. If this is not accurate too, then statements that she is co-evil with the Lord, all pervasive like him, already quoted from Vishnu Purana, and several other passages will become contradicted. There will not be the problem of the world having two rulers. Then the question is, if Lakshmi is as pervasive and as powerful as the Lord, there will be two rulers then. How can there be two rulers for the same country? Can there be two chief ministers in Tamil Nadu? At the same time. Vedantisika says, this problem won't arise at all. Because Laukika Dampati Nyayena, he says, like the house, husband and wife, family life, both of them have equal powers. The lady also has equal powers like her husband, but she won't do certain things. Somebody comes and asks for a loan of 100 rupees, 1000 rupees. She said, please wait. I will talk to my husband. It's called Laukik Dampati. So there won't be any contradiction of interest. This is what he means actually. In the same house, both are having equal powers, but still the lady degrades herself to some extent and gives the right to the husband to decide certain matters. The portfolios, as you call it. Distribution of portfolios there. The southern sect is of the view that she cannot grant liberation. Important point. Lakshmi cannot give you liberation at all, according to the Tengalai Sampradaya. That power is vested only with the Lord. She can, however, become a mediatrix or Purushakara and help procure moksha for the erring humanity. On her own, she cannot grant liberation. If she were capable of doing so, she could have set herself free from Ravana's captivity in Lanka. She told Hanuman that only Rama was capable of setting her free. Raghavaha arhati tatu tasya sadrisham bhavet. They are the words of Valmiki. Tatu tasya sadrisham, only Rama can do it. I cannot free myself. This obviously reveals that she doesn't have the power to set anyone free from transmigration. This is view of Vedanta Deshika. Sorry, this is view of Pillai Lokacharya. But the northern sect is the view that she can also grant moksha like her Lord. She, however, doesn't assume the role for herself because it is a question of distribution of powers. She could have set herself free from Ravana's clutches without the help of Rama, but she did not take that extreme step because that would infringe upon Rama's right. In fact, she told Ravana that she could have reduced him to ashes by her own prowess, but she did not take that extreme step because, one, she was observing a vow by that time, and also because she did not have Rama's permission to do so. Asandeshattu Ramasya tapasascha anupalanat natvam kurmi dashagriva bhasma bhasmarha tejasa. Although thus the southern and northern sects differ regarding the two issues of Lakshmi's upayatva, means being a means of liberation, and vyapti, all-pervasive character, they are one in admitting that she is the consort of the Lord, the mother of the creatures, and she is the Purushakara, mediator between man and God. In conclusion, it must be admitted that unfortunately, the relationship between these two Srivaishnava sects became strained for some time in the post-Deshika period, not only as a result of these doctrinal differences, which are 18 in number, but on several other grounds, such as the relative authority of the Vedas and Divya Prabandha, which is more important. Divya Prabandha is a name given to the composition of all the alvars, a 4,000 number called Narayaram also. Then regarding the social practices, marital alliances, worship procedures, caste marks, and the like. They even went to courts of law to settle their issues, bringing disgrace to the great system bequeathed by Sri Ramanuja. However, good sense prevailed over these two groups now, and there is a kind of spirit of cooperation among them. They are now entering into matrimonial alliances mutually and living in peace and harmony, which is to be appreciated by all right-thinking people. It may not be out of place to point out in this context that some kind of mutual ill will and misunderstanding was prevailing among the Sri Vaishnavas even in the times of Vedanta Deshika. This made him declare in his drama Sankalpa Suryodaya that there was nothing wanting in the system of Ramanuja. It was fortified by stalwarts and none could raise a finger against it. But then the real problem was from within. The mutual aversion and enmity which the Sri Vaishnavas bear towards each other are totally unacceptable and unbecoming of the spirit of the great system. Deshika prays that sooner the jealousy leaves the followers, the better it will be. Apadachudam anapayini darshane asmin ashasaniyam aparaihi na vipakshahetoho apata drishtimuthuran punaha asmadiyan anyonya vairajanani vijahatu asuya. Asuya, jealousy should leave our people. Everything will be alright. What is called Graha Kalaham, a fight in the family itself. Let us hope and pray that this ardent wish of Vedanta Deshika is fulfilled in the best interest of Sri Vaishnava religion and thought. Let me conclude my talk with a quotation from Vedanta Deshika himself, from his Sri Stuti, which reflects the unbounded compassion of Lakshmi. Mata Devi Tvamasi Bhagavan Vasudevaha Pitame. You are my mother and Vasudeva is my father. Mata, I am reminded of a beautiful song of Tyagaraja Swami. Tyagaraja was a great saint composer. In Telugu, he wrote, Sitamma Mayamma, Sri Ramudu Magutandri. Sita is my mother, Sri Rama is my father. Mata Devi Tvamasi Bhagavan Vasudevaha Pitame Jataha Soham Janani Ivayoho Ekalakshim Dayayaha Dattaha Yushmat Parijanataya Deshikairapi Ataha Tvam Kimte Bhuyaha Priyamitikala Smeravaktra Vibhasi. O Mother Goddess, O Goddess, you are my mother, and Bhagavan Vasudeva is my father. I have thus become the sole object of the compassion of both of you. Further, my preceptors gave me away to you both as your humble servant. You, O Mother, with your gentle smiling face, seem to ask me as to what other favor I am seeking from you. So, thank you very much for your kind attention and time.